You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box, okay?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Yeah, sit down. Be humble.
No brainer, no brainer.
Sit down.
No, no, no.
Be humble.
God,
you're
not over.
Sit down.
If we do the right thing,
be humble.
Sit down. Be humble.
Have some fun and don't worry about winning. Let the chips fall where they fall.
Hey y'all, welcome to the Bench Squad Podcast. I'm Brian. I'm here in place of Robin, who this week has responsibilities. But as always, I've got my fellow co-host with me. How's it going? Introduce yourself.
What's up? It's Jonathan. Good to be back. Here we go.
Sick. So we had a nice little week of football this past week. The trade deadline passed, and with that, we've got a lot of good trades that went on in the NFL, a lot more than usual, I feel like. And we also had our own trade as well in the league, so we're just going to run through them real quick. Joni, what do you think about the Demaryius Thomas trade for all the teams involved?
The Demaryius Thomas trade, it's a really good pickup for Houston. We know that Demaryius Thomas has the skill set and has not been able to capitalize in Denver. I think that we see a lot of fantasy impact on all wide receivers involved. And we can talk more about that, I think, team by team. But, I think it's a good trade in terms of was it good for the Texans? I believe yes. The Broncos, you know, up and down. They exchanged seventh-round picks, and the Broncos got a fourth-round pick. You have to make moves when your team is sucking. But, you know, getting a fourth-round pick for a guy that's been perennially a Pro Bowler – feels a little rough sometimes, but I think it's a good move for both teams.
Yeah, I think Demaryius Thomas has a lot more in the tank, and I think hopefully Deshaun Watson can bring that out of him. All right, Jonas, how do you think about the Golden Tate trade then?
I think the Golden Tate trade is interesting. For the Eagles, I don't know that pass catchers were – I didn't think that pass catchers were where they were going to go at the trade deadline. I was expecting some sort of LeSean McCoy and maybe a surprise Le'Veon Bell action with all their issues at running back. But I think the Golden Tate trade is good news for Golden Tate out of the slot. I think it's good news for Alshon Jeffrey on the outside. And for the Lions, you know, they've got a plethora of receivers, and so I don't think they really lost anything. And so I think it's good for the Lions to get a third-round pick. I think for the Eagles, I'm not sure that was the area I would have looked.
Yeah, I agree that the third-round pick will be really valuable to the Lions. I think this will help out Wentz, hopefully, too. He's got another weapon, even though I think before he still had Jeffrey, and Ertz, obviously fantastic, but I felt like the other weapons were a little lacking. So I think Golden Tate will help out the Eagles in general, opening up the offense. And, some less fantasy-relevant trades, but let's go through them nonetheless. How about the Ty Montgomery to the Ravens trade?
I don't think that it creates any value for Ty Montgomery. The Packers got a seventh-round pick 2 years from now. I think the Ravens are just more concerned about having a backup for Alex Collins, who, has some history of injury and maybe some change of pace. Seeing all of the thunder lightning combos going on out there. But I don't think it's the most fantasy relevant trade for sure.
No, for sure. The Packers basically gave him away for free after that game losing fumble against. Did you see that?
Yeah, basically they said like you screwed us for a game by muffing a punt and, you know, muffing up kick return and you know, that.
Yeah, against one of the best teams in the league. He just went rogue, disobeyed his coach, and they're like, yeah, you're off the team now. And so the seventh-round pick is literally nothing. And honestly, I don't even think he's a backup for Alex Collins. I think he'll be a backup for, Buck Allen. And so, I really don't see him being very relevant. I guess one more offensive player that was traded a little while ago, but he's still going to play for the first time this week on his new team, Amari Cooper to the Cowboys. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the Cowboys are taking a big risk, giving up a first-round pick.
Oh, for sure.
Right. And so the Raiders, I think, are trying to sell this message. You know, you see John Gruden just saying all the time that, like, they are building a championship team over there. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
gotta lose first to make that championship team.
I mean, they've got a lot of first round picks coming up.
No, for sure. Yeah.
So next year in the 2019 draft, I think they already have four first round picks in the first round. Four first round picks in the first round. Right. So I think they've already got four of them. And so they say they're not punting this year away. They say, you know, we believe in the team this year. I don't buy it. I think
they're tanking. You know,
yeah, they're tanking. Amari Cooper has always been kind of this, like, you know, ever since he came out of college, this, like, guy with all of the physique and all that you want, but just has never been as productive as they dreamed. And so, yeah, it's a really good trade for the Raiders. It's a, you know, Hail Mary shot for the Cowboys.
I tend to agree. I think Amari Cooper has a little better value now. I think Dak is marginally better than Derek Carr at quarterback. Honestly, it might even be a little bit more than marginal. After seeing that last Thursday night game, I'm not even sure if Carr will be a starting quarterback next year. I think he looked really bad against a not very good 49ers team. But so I think Dak's a little better.
Terrible.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Yeah.
I'm hoping this actually will open up the field a little bit more for my boy Zeke. Obviously, the defenses haven't been scared of whatever receivers have been on the outside so far. Cole Beasley, Allen Hurns for the Cowboys. Maybe this Amari Cooper trade makes defensive respect the running game or the passing game a little bit more.
Yeah, we shall see. I don't know that I trust Amari Cooper's value at this point. The only person you really trust on that Cowboy team is your boy Zeke. So.
And some defensive trades.
Yeah, Dante Fowler to the Rams. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, Dante Fowler. The Rams are going all in.
The scariest defense just got, you know, top three scariest defense. Just got even scarier with Dante Fowler, who has been underperforming this season, but has been a monster in his time in the NFL. And so, I'm excited. I've got the Rams defense, and you know, defenses don't really put up. You know, they're not your main player, but when you got that many playmakers on a team, you know, you can get a defense that racks you up some points. So.
I think the only fear for the Rams defense, because they've been lacking their top cornerbacks for some time now. They're due to be back too soon. I think Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters was.
And it feels like they're just going, you know, like if we can just get to the quarterback every time because we're stuffing the front with Aaron Donald, Dominic Sue, and Dante Fowler, right? Like, who cares who we have on the outside? They can never pass.
Yeah, that's true. So, and also, like, I think the only thing you're scared of as the Rams defense is you're winning games too easily and the defense lets up some, like, pity points, you know what I'm saying? Garbage time points. I think that's the only worry. The Rams defense is looking solid.
Yeah.
Obviously, haha Clinton Dix to the Washington Redskins and Damon Snack Harrison to the Detroit Lions. What do you think about these trades?
Damon Harrison to the Lions. You know, Giants are another team saying they're not punting because OBJ is a diva and, you know, doesn't want to hear that. But at the same time, seems like they're kind of just trading away their defense. And, you know, after that Eli Apple trade, the Damon Harrison trade is just, it feels, you know, the writing is on the wall for the Giants season. They're potentially the worst team in the NFL next to like the Bills, right? So so with that and then the haha Clinton Dix trade, I thought that one was an interesting one. Not exactly sure. He's been pretty serviceable in the NFL.
Yeah,
he's been a good player for the Packers. I don't know if this is, you know, the Packers saying that they are trying to. Yeah, I'm not really sure where the Packers are coming from in this trade. But, yeah, what do you think?
Just from a defensive standpoint, the Redskins defense has been looking really good recently. I think haha Clinton Dix will help solidify that secondary up a little bit better. The Detroit Lions defense has been terrible at stopping the run. Hopefully, Snack Harrison can boost them up a little bit too. But in terms of real life relevance, I think,
I mean, neither of those defenses are ones that you're like trying to play week by week. So fantasy relevance, minimal.
Yeah.
Maybe some streaming relevance, but these trades aren't going to change your mind on that.
Mm-hmm. But I think the Washington Redskins, they're sleeper pick in that division. I think they've been solid. They're trying to quietly make some moves to get back into relevance. They could win the division. It's up for grabs right now.
Yeah, and I think what that means for fantasy is that as we're looking towards, you know, some sort of playoff push, that the teams that are on the bubble, like the Redskins, are the ones that are going to keep playing hardcore, and you know, players on those teams start to become a little bit more relevant, and usage stays up in the later weeks. So,
for sure. And so let's go into our own league trade. We recently had one trade go down. It was Demaryius Thomas for Doug Martin. What do you say about that, Jonas, as you were the one who traded away Dougie Martin?
I feel like we should hear your side because you were uninvolved. What are you thinking?
For sure. So, actually, Chubb for the Dub, the team who traded with my host, Jonas, he actually consulted me on this trade. I was not so down on this trade before. I thought Dougie Martin would be good, especially for this week, I said, I think Dougie is more of a short-term trade opportunity. And since Chubb for the Dub currently needs to win now, I was like, you know, that's a fine trade. But now I'm a little bit worried. Doug Martin only put up 6.9 points against a San Fran team that's very beatable. And honestly, Oakland looks terrible. They have a lot of losable games ahead of them with LAC, Baltimore, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, a lot of these games. And Doug Martin isn't the pass catching back. So you have to worry that game script could be behind him in a lot of these games. And so I'm a little worried about Dougie. I think Demaryius Thomas will be fine in the long run. I don't know if this upcoming week will be the best one for him. But that's my thoughts. What about you now?
Yeah, I think with Doug Martin, the gamble is that as long as Marshawn Lynch is on the IR, that you expect him to have kind of the bulk of the carries. But when you fall behind quickly to a San Francisco team, and Doug Martin only gets 11 touches for the game, it's not super encouraging. On the other hand, I don't know that Demaryius Thomas is going to be super productive. And I honestly only went into the trade this week because I needed somebody to start at wide receiver. And my hope, I know you're saying, like, doesn't feel like maybe the first week he's going to be super productive. But on the other hand, he gets revenge right away. He gets traded, and that first game is against his old team. And so I'm hoping there's some revenge game going on. So, fingers crossed, but not really expecting that much.
For sure. And with that, let's segue right into our first matchup of the game with our fellow co-host being involved. This one's a battle of the heavyweights, the division leaders in both sides. Y'all Mahomes versus Team Old and AJ Green at Heart. So Team Y'all Mahomes is trotting out Patrick Mahomes, Kareem Hunt, Alex Collins, Julio Jones, Tyreek Hill, Robert Woods, Greg Olsen, Vikings defense, and Robbie Gold.
Sounds like a fake team once we're 8 weeks into the season. Sounds like we all sucked at drafting and Paul got that team. But I'm going to lose this week. I don't know that there's like a ton to talk about.
Oh, damn. Wait, you're not confident at all? I was actually a little torn on which one I wanted to vote for.
I'm not confident because there is just, like, if we're just looking at who I'm rolling out, both of my starting, well, two of the three wide receivers that I could start I've got my running backs in, but again, Demaryius Thomas, not so much faith in him. Here's the one spot for hope, I think, for my team. Really quickly, my team's this week's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick, Philip Lindsay, James White, Chris Carson, Julian Edelman, Demaryius Thomas, OJ Howard, Rams defense for now, potentially going to pick up a stream, and then Harrison Bucker. The one place I think that I could see some hope is one, a revenge game from Demaryius Thomas. I think he's a player to watch. And then the reconnection between Ryan Fitzpatrick and OJ Howard. Fitzpatrick loves OJ Howard. And we saw that at the beginning of the season when Fitzpatrick was starting. And if those two have big games against Carolina, we could see, you know, I could see something happening. But I think on paper, I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose.
So I feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick will be a big talk in this podcast for a lot of the matchups. But yeah, so with the benching of Jameis Winston, he's back into fantasy relevance. So let's go into some players to watch. I see you were talking about Chris Carson in your players to watch. What are you watching there?
Yeah, just injury, right? He was held out a couple weeks ago against Arizona because of a hip injury, and he's been hampered a little bit in practice this week. So if he's healthy, I think he, you know, is a good start and has shown in the past couple weeks that he's going to get the volume. But if he's not healthy, just I think all I'm watching for him is health. And then I talked about the Buccaneer connection, Fitzmagic and Howard, and then Demaryius Thomas revenge game. And you've got Julian Edelman and whoever Paul is starting at tight end. Who, let's see real quick. Who is he starting? Greg Olsen. Any thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, so initially he had a Jordan Reed in that starting lineup. Jordan Reed had been really underwhelming. And so, yeah, I was definitely going to advocate for Greg Olsen, and so I'm glad to see him put into that starting lineup. Greg Olsen is a little bit worrisome too. I feel like you don't really have too much upside when Cam Newton's on your team. I mean, playing your quarterback, he could always just rush in for a touchdown himself, steal all the points for himself. So I think the tight end position is somewhere a little bit questionable for Yael Mahomes, whereas I feel like O.J. Howard is very solid. I was also looking at Demaryius Thomas too. I think it's a little bit worrisome. I feel like NFL playbooks are a little tough, and he's had the weird situation where he just finished his game in Denver. He has to travel to Houston, try to learn the playbook and learn the whatever routes and stuff in less than a week, and then he's back in Denver. Do you think this is a weird setup that might hurt his chances?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not expecting a lights-out game from him, but I needed a wide receiver, and again, the hope is he's trying to get some revenge. It has some salt left in his mouth from the trade, and wants to have a good game against, you know, guys he literally lined up with last week. So,
Sure. I think obviously most of these players on Paul's team we've already harped on long enough. They're all really good. Looking at the defense too, though, you're starting the Rams defense, who are one of the best defenses in the league. They're super.
But they're
scary.
Playing against
they're,
New Orleans.
They're against the Saints. Are you expecting big things from the Rams this week?
No. I kind of want to stream a defense. I just don't know who I want to drop. So I'm like, you know, that's the tear here. I'm you know, half punting this week away, I think. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Again, I think if I win,
a solid team. I don't think you're ever.
If
really
I win,
a week.
Yeah. If I win, it's not going to be because I streamed the defense, you know. And so I think like I need some things to fall in place, like I said, with the Bucks and with Demaryius Thomas, and we'll see.
All right. Anything else you want to say about this matchup?
No. Let's go to the next one.
All right. Let's go to the next one, which is. Pardon one second.
Joe versus Robin.
Yes.
We got the two teams are. The Brady Bunch. And yeah, go ahead.
Dealing the show.
Yep.
All right, so the Brady Bunch has Tom Brady, Christian McCaffrey, Lamar Miller, Austin Eckler, Michael Thomas, Tyler Lockett, Travis Kelce, Titans defense, and Justin Tucker.
Yeah, I think he's got a solid lineup coming up. We haven't seen Austin Eckler in a couple weeks. It feels like it's been longer, but it really has just been bye week. Mm-hmm. But between Christian McCaffrey against Tampa Bay, who, you know, has been pretty horrid on defense this year, Lamar Miller against a Denver front that has been bad against the run, even though they've historically been good, and we got Michael Thomas coming out. I think the Brady Bunch is going to put on a good show. On the Thielen side, we got Matt Ryan, Kerryon Johnson, Latavius Murray, Emmanuel Sanders, Adam Thielen, John Brown, Trey Burton, the Bears defense, and Cody Parkey, the Bears kicker.
Yeah, I think the Brady Bunch honestly has some really interesting parts going on for him this week. Christian McCaffrey is a top 15 running back, although he's actually Oh, I forgot the exact number, but he has one of the lowest. I think he does have the lowest amount of touches in that top 15 running back. So he's an electric player who does a lot with his touches. Austin Eckler, Melvin Gordon. Is he a game time decision?
I don't know about Melvin Gordon. He's definitely. I'm pretty sure he's expected to play, but with that hamstring injury and how, again, electric Austin Eckler has been with all of his touches. I think we can probably expect a little bump in usage, if not a big bump in usage, from him. But
yeah, I could see this Austin Eckler getting a lot more touches as well, and he's been good with them so far. So I'm also watching Michael Thomas. Obviously, this New Orleans Rams game is scheduled to be a huge shootout, so this could be a lot of points involved for everyone on those two teams. So hopefully Michael Thomas can get in on some of that action.
Yeah, and the one thing with Michael Thomas has been, he came out of the gates like just firing, right? Weeks 1, 2, 3, 16 receptions, 12 receptions, 10 receptions. And he's seen a little bit of a dip in usage as the New Orleans have really one of the most well-rounded offenses, if not the most well-rounded offense in the league.
They have so many scoring options.
Yeah, they have so many options where everybody you want to start everybody on that team, but then at the same time you're like any given week, minus Alvin Kamara, right? Like even Alvin Kamara, the first week that Mark Ingram was back, I guess, right? Like you just have no idea where they're going to strike from. They've had enough points to go around that everybody's been pretty productive, but you know, against the big front seven from the Rams. I think we could see more usage on the wide receiver end of all things. So, another player that I'm watching is Emmanuel Sanders. Again, with Demaryius Thomas trade just happening, do we see a huge bump in targets for Emmanuel Sanders? What do you think?
I think this is going to be something interesting, definitely something I'm going to watch. Emmanuel Sanders obviously becomes the number one receiver now, but he still plays predominantly in the slot. And so I'm wondering what that means rather for Emmanuel Sanders or Cortland Sutton, who's the rookie who's now going to be elevated into that starting role. I'm wondering if there'll be more attention placed onto Sanders or whether or not the number one quarterback or cornerback will just be placed on Cortland Sutton because Sanders plays in the slot. So honestly, Sanders' value might stay the same. It could be dropping a little bit with an unproven rookie on the other side of him, but I'm very interested in seeing how that plays out.
Yeah, or they'll just keep dumping the ball to Phillip Lindsay, and Lindsay's getting 40 points this game.
For sure. You won't complain about that.
Not at all. And I think, not really a player to watch because he's really been, by far, the best receiver all season, the most consistent. He has not had a game under double-digit points yet. But Adam Thielen, man, I really watched that Vikings game last week. And I haven't really, sat down and watched a full Vikings game all season. But Thielen, he's this undrafted white dude. And he's going out and he is making moves. He runs routes like, honestly, comparing him to Antonio Brown in route running. He had this move in the end zone that got him so open. Nobody was even close to him when he caught that touchdown last week. And so always fun players to watch, I think, on Thielen's show.
Yeah, I'd certainly say he's stealing the show. Anyways. I think one thing to definitely watch that might be a little bit unappreciated because it's on the side of a ball that's more unpredictable, but this Bears defense, I feel like this is a prime spot for them to really just win you a week against the Buffalo offense.
Yeah, but I've heard rumors that they might be, because we expect this game to be not as competitive, we being the Chicago Bears. I've heard rumors that Khalil Mack might rest that ankle this week, in which case we should still win, and the defense still should not give up many points, but you might not get the same pizzazz and power that we've gotten from Khalil Mack the last couple, or last week he was clearly still being bothered by the ankle. I've heard he might get some rest this week, so
for sure. But I think I'm a Bills a little bit supporter. I did call that they would play the Patriots a little tougher, and the score was 9-6 in the middle of the third quarter. Obviously, the game got out of hand at the end. But the Bills do play you tough. But just looking at just how they've played on offense, they've had one touchdown for 14 turnovers these past like 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, I think they've scored 11 points in the last 2 weeks, is what I heard.
Nasty. And they're apparently trotting out Nathan Peterman this week. I feel like this could be another disaster for them.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it should be.
Yeah, I see you have Lamar Miller as one of your other players to watch. You got anything to say about him?
There's just been a little bit of trade, like buyer's remorse, I think, or seller's remorse in this case with Lamar Miller. I love James White, but watching Lamar Miller really thrive last week was hard. I think he might have another thriving week this week against, again, a weak Denver run defense. So especially with Houston trying to figure out what it's doing on the wide receiver end, with Demaryius Thomas just coming in, I think they might lean heavily on the run. I think we can expect another big week from Lamar Miller.
Mm-hmm. Lamar Miller has been looking really solid as of lately. Obviously, there's the second year back, Donta Foreman, coming back. What do you think that'll affect his value at all?
No, I think Deontay Foreman, at the beginning of the year, I picked him up and I thought about just holding on to him for a while. But, it just looks if you see what people have been saying about his injury and his recovery, it has not been super promising. They're saying he's recovering fine, but Achilles are always hard to come back from. And it seems like they're just going to ease him, really, really ease him back in. Especially with Lamar Miller playing well, I don't foresee Deontay Foreman having any sort of fantasy relevance in the coming weeks.
For sure, for sure. And so one last thing I want to talk about in this matchup, the Brady Bunch's very own Tom Brady, barely a top 10 quarterback this season. How do you think he does against one of the other great quarterbacks in the league, Aaron Rodgers, this week?
I think Brady Brady, I think, is the most tactical and, he is the most proven war general, I think, at the quarterback position. I think Aaron Rodgers is also really smart, but is simply the most physically talented quarterback in the league. And I think Tom Brady has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder this game. And it's weird to say that Tom Brady's got a chip on his shoulder. He is in discussion for the greatest quarterback of all time. But I think with people saying, talking about his age, talking about all these things, that he comes out and really shows and has an efficient game. He's not going to, throw a 70-yard bomb for a touchdown. But I do think that he wants to beat the Packers, especially after Rodgers beat him 2 years ago. And that he and Belichick come up with a really good game plan to attack a weak and soft Green Bay defense, especially with Ha Ha Clinton-Dix gone too now, right? He's got some more room in the secondary to work with. So I think Tom Brady, we can expect a good week from him.
For sure. I'm leaning towards more of the same. I feel like Tom Brady has always been that player who's like, I don't care about your fantasy points. I'll do enough to make us win. But I feel like these weeks, when he has something to prove himself and he's against another great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, I think he'll want to strut his stuff then. And so I feel Green Bay is definitely beatable on the receiving end. So I think Tom Brady's, I think he's geared for a good week this week. It's not like he's gotten worse.
No. I mean, he can throw, he only throws 15 yards max, but I honestly, sometimes I look at some of the younger quarterbacks like Trubisky. I'm like, dude, just do what Brady does. Check down, get some yards, move the ball. And he's just the master at it, right? He'll pick you apart within the first 12 yards. So, I think we'll see some efficient numbers from Brady.
For sure.
That's sexy, but definitely good. Yeah.
All right. By nothing sexy, give me a point number. What do you think?
I think the projection by ESPN is pretty good this week. I think somewhere in the 18 to 21 range. I think he throws for a couple touchdowns and has anywhere from 250 to 300 yards. So yeah, I go with I'll go with 20. An even 20.
Ooh, 20, all right. Well, we were both on the books. We're saying under 20 last game against Buffalo. I guess we were right about that one. I'm gonna go. Yeah.
Yeah, we were super right about that one.
For sure. I'm gonna go big on this one. I think he's home at Foxborough. I think he has something to prove. I think he goes for at least, I think 24. I'm gonna go with 24.
All right, cool.
All right, let's move on to the next matchup, which I think is my matchup. which is The Fire Chasm Whence It Came versus Zeke, Do You Love Me? On my team, I've got Baker Mayfield as quarterback, Ezekiel Elliott, Sony Michel at running backs, Michael Crabtree tentatively, Doug Baldwin, Juju Smith-Schuster, David Njoku, Cowboys defense, and Kaimi Fairbairn.
Yeah, and then on the other side, Fiery Chasm, once it came, you got Jared Goff, not Wentz because he's on bye, LeSean McCoy, Jordan Howard, Tevin Coleman, Antonio Brown, Brandon Cooks, Kyle Rudolph, Jets defense, and Steven Gostkowski. I think this is going to be an interesting game. You know, if Sony Michel is not there, you're in some big trouble, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Sony Michel plays a Sunday night game. If he he practiced limited all week. He practiced also on last Saturday. But if the Patriots end up deciding to sit him out, I might be in a little trouble, a little bit of a pinch in that Sunday night game. And who do I play?
Yeah, and I think Baker Mayfield's an interesting choice too. What are you thinking there?
So Baker Mayfield, I'm thinking floor right now. Baker Mayfield has the second most pass attempts in the league so far, only behind the QB on my bench, Andrew Luck. And so I'm seeing he generally drops back for around 40-something passes a week. And against the Chiefs, where I'm expecting him to be down big, I can see even like 50 passes. And with that many passes, there's a lot of room for mistakes. But I think in general, the Kansas City defense is beatable, especially since they're in Cleveland. I could see him getting some points here.
I mean, he hasn't hit 20 points all season, though. And I guess floor-wise, but you know, he's got, I don't know. I'm not sure that I trust Baker Mayfield. I thought you were going with, you know, he's going back against Patrick Mahomes, and the two of them set a record last year. They passed for 1,300 yards or something like that between the two of them in the Oklahoma-Texas Tech game last year. So,
oh, yeah, I'm going with that, too. They've definitely got shootout potential here, right?
Yeah, so maybe they're going for a repeat of that game. That game was nuts.
Ooh, actually, you know what else? I'm actually really hyped on Hugh Jackson is finally fired. I am very hyped about that.
Yeah. What kind of value do you think that gives Baker?
Oh, man. Baker has actually been pretty vocal. Not vocal because he's a rookie, but he's clearly not a huge fan of Hugh Jackson. And I don't think any NFL fan should be a fan. This guy has been 3-39 in the past three seasons. Jonas, I think one of us could have done a better job. I feel like we could have lucked into at least four wins, no?
Yeah, especially with that many first-round picks and all that, I think we, you know, you just make a couple of good picks and you go out there and you don't even have to tell them what to do. These guys have been playing football their whole lives. So, you know, you hire a couple of coordinators that know what to run and you just kind of sit back and watch. And I kind of agree. I think we see a little bit more safe play from the Browns. You know, Baker's been throwing it 50, 40 times a game, but I think we just see more easy stuff, you know, like pick and go and, you know, just crossing slant routes and easy completions for Baker that keep the ball moving against, you know, what has been a soft Kansas City defense all week or all year.
Just give him some confidence. Give the young rook some confidence. Make him complete some plays.
Yeah, I still don't think he's like a good play, but, you know, whatever. I think he's serviceable.
I just think Hugh Jackson firing is an overall plus. I don't even know who their new head coach is. Their their offensive coordinator. He's a Bruce Arians understudy. I'm excited a little bit about that. But overall, I just think you can't go wrong with that firing. I think that can only help the team. And so I'm hoping for big things on that end.
Yeah, and then on the other end, I think like Jordan Howard, what do we think he's going to do this week? He's been getting a little bit more usage last week, but has looked, you know, not himself all season. Tevin Coleman, disappointment, right? Like Devontae Freeman's been out of the picture for a while, and he has not really capitalized on it. LeSean McCoy has sucked all season too. So I think this team rides and dies with its wide receivers, really. And Antonio Brown's going against what's been a pretty strong Baltimore defense all season. And so, yeah, I'm not sure where the production is going to come from for Fiery Chasm once it came, but when I look at the team, I feel like it's the team that should win, especially with all the injuries you've got. What do you think?
That's also sort of what I've been thinking. If you just look at the names, I think the Fiery Chasm has some sexy names going on. But if you look at the matchups, Chicago, believe it or not, they've only had one running back this season to run for, I mean, one team's running backs to one run rushing, over. Sorry?
No, go for it, yeah.
Only one team has run over 40-something yards on Chicago, and that was Miami.
Yeah, and I don't know if Chicago's given up a rushing touchdown all season.
No, and they still have not given up a rushing touchdown. Obviously, LeSean McCoy can get involved in the passing game. He's one of those types of backs. But Buffalo has not looked good on offense, so I'm hoping that we can put the clamps on LeSean McCoy. And honestly, Jordan Howard, if there's a week where he could benefit, it would be against this Buffalo defense, who has looked beatable on the rush and is projected to be down basically all game. So Jordan Howard could be used to just run out the game. Washington's defense has actually been super solid lately either. Do you know Redskins running backs that they've played against?
Who the Redskins have played against in recent weeks?
Yeah.
They played against the Giants, who suck. They played against Zeke a couple weeks ago. They played against Christian McCaffrey. And I'm just looking at it right now. They gave up 6 points to the Panthers. They gave up 4 points to Dallas in the run game. So in the past few weeks, they've been really good. The first 5 weeks, though, they were horrendous against the run. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah, they've been stepping up heavily. Saquon Barkley only managed 37 yards. Zeke only managed 30 yards. I'm a little encouraged at what that means for Tevin Coleman, who's definitely not near those guys' level.
Yeah, it's crazy. They played Arizona, Indiana, Green Bay, and New Orleans in the first 5 weeks, and gave up an average of like 20 points. And then the last 3 weeks, they played three of the best running backs, and they shut them down. So, yeah, we'll see.
I'm hoping for good things there.
All right. Any other players to watch, you think, in this one?
I'm looking at two players. I'm actually – Kyle Rudolph has been bad all year. He hasn't passed 5 points since week three. But Detroit Lions have given up three touchdowns in a row in consecutive weeks to tight ends. And so I feel like this would be the week, right, that Kyle Rudolph just blows up against me, gets his touchdown, gets maybe even two. So I'm a little worried about Kyle Rudolph. If you have Kyle Rudolph on your team, I think he's a good start against this Detroit Lions defense. And I'm also looking at Ezekiel Elliott. He's obviously a tremendous talent. He's still eighth in points for running backs despite already having his bye. But he came off of a disappointing Washington game. And Tennessee has also been really good against the run just in general. For the past 3 years, they've been top 10 in rushing defense. So I'm really wondering what I'm going to see from Ezekiel Elliott this week, if it's going to be a big franchise performance like I'm hoping, or if he's going to continue to kind of slump with the rest of the Dallas offense.
Yeah, I think all the questions for you kind of run up and down in terms of injuries, and then also, you know, underperformance from Crabtree and Baldwin all year. Juju has been quieter as of late. David Njoku has, you know, been boom or bust. I think there are quite a few questions up and down your roster, but also for every question mark, there's also a potential for a big game from any of those guys. So
that's what I like to hear. I'm glad to hear that from you, my man.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the next game. Let's go to Diggs in a Blanket and Alvin and the Pig Tux.
Diggs in a Blanket, Alvin and the Pig Tux. All right, so here we got Steve versus Andy.
Yep.
The battle of the best friends after the battle of the brothers last week.
for sure. So Diggs in a Blanket is a very scary 2-6. Yeah, it's been a little unlucky, but he has Russell Wilson as QB, Kenyon Drake, Aaron Jones as the running backs, Jarvis Landry, Keenan Allen, Stephen Diggs as wide receivers, Jared Cook, who already played for a nice 2 points, Texans defense, and Greg Zuerlein.
Yeah, and then on the other side for Alvin, the Pick Tux, you got Aaron Rodgers, Alvin Kamara, Tariq Cohen, Melvin Gordon, Josh Gordon, Mike Williams, Vance McDonald, Dolphins defense, and Mason Crosby. Even just reading down that, as soon as I read it, I'm like, man, they're just, for me, it feels like there's no way for Alvin and the Pigtecs to lose this week. What do you think?
I could see it. I think if Melvin Gordon is a surprise cut again for this 4 o'clock game and he finds another fat zero in that column like he did a couple weeks ago against you, I think.
Ooh. Yeah, that, I almost lost that anyway.
I think that would definitely be an opening for Diggs in the blanket to pull this one out. On the other hand, I think Kenyon Drake has been trending upwards, and New York Jets, honestly, they look like a mess both on offense and defense. Aaron Jones, I think he's actually in line for a big game. I feel like with Ty Montgomery getting moved, Ty Montgomery still got a good amount of snaps despite not really getting that many touches. Against New England, I feel like this is a prime spot for Aaron Jones to really strut his stuff on prime time. So I feel like this could be his big game.
Yeah, Drake, Jones, Landry all have been trending up. Keenan Allen has not been the wide receiver one that people have expected all season.
For sure not.
And then Stephon Diggs has been really overshadowed by Thielen. But with Drake, Jones, Landry in the heart of that lineup, all trending up, you know, you could see big games from them, but with Jared Cook already having played with 2 points,
That's not ideal.
Even against the Rams, you know, you just can't bet against Alvin Kamara. The dude's a beast.
For sure.
He's been a monster almost every week, minus the week that he got some rest. Tariq Cohen has been trending up with Chicago. Josh Gordon, I think he's a player to watch this week.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think that Josh Gordon has been on the brink of breakout.
I've been feeling the exact same. And you think this is the week?
Yeah, especially with their free safety, HaHa Clinton Dix being moved from Green Bay. I think we see something a little bit more vertical, or at least a couple more shots with Josh Gordon, and I think that it pays off this week.
Yeah, and Green Bay's quietly been really bad on the road but good at home, and this is obviously in Foxborough, one of the hardest places to play. I feel like Josh Gordon is good target for a breakout game. I feel like he's been due. He's like on the edge of that explosion. Maybe we see it this week.
Yeah. And also another person that's been quietly much better in the last few weeks, Russell Wilson. But again, I think that on the Diggs in a blanket side, I'm feeling a lot of like, yeah, these people have been on the up and they could have a good game. And then on the Alvin, the pig tuck side, I've been feeling a lot of like, oh yeah, they're playing the Rams, right? Can't bet against Kamara. I feel more confidence in a lot of the players on Andy's team side. So,
mm-hmm. One thing to note also is that this LA Rams versus New Orleans Saints game, I think it's been projected to be a shootout, and I think the stats support it because the Saints have actually been the number one team in giving up big plays of 40 yards or more, and the Rams have actually been number four. And so if we see a lot of big plays for the Rams, it might be because they're just blowing out teams and they just leave open like a couple defensive lapses that gives a big play. But, you know, if you had to pick any player to make a big play on this Saints team, I feel like Kamara is a good bet.
Yeah, for sure.
And I kind of want to talk about Vance McDonald, too. This Steelers tight end, I feel like he puts up a major stiff arm like every other game. I feel like he's an exciting player to watch, although fantasy-wise,
Honestly, a lot of tight ends have been really fun to watch because ever since the Gronk revolution, we're seeing a lot of really big, fast, athletic
athletes out in the tight end position.
Playing a tight end. It's crazy. George Kittle last week. The dude looked like a monster.
Oh, my God.
Right? That was
an amazing performance.
Right, and so if George Kittle can do it, I think Vance McDonald can do it too, and so I do think that he's been fun to watch. And
he did it in week 3 against Tampa Bay. That was his George Kittle moment right there.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay or the tight end position has just been fun to watch this season, and it's been kind of, you know, there have been three guys near the top, you know, with Ertz and with Kelsey, and I don't know who else you would put in the Ertz and Kelsey echelon, but. And then it's been kind of like a random guy every other week, you know, just having this huge game. So, yeah, Vance McDonald, I don't know against Baltimore if that's going to be the game that it happens. But maybe with Baltimore being so good against the run, we'll see some good tight end play.
Actually, yeah, Baltimore is really good against the run and really good on the outsides with Brandon Carr and Jimmy Smith. And actually, so the Baltimore's biggest weak spot is the slot in the interior. So that's why I'm projecting Juju to have hopefully a big bounce back to what he was in the earlier half of the season. And Vance McDonald might catch some of that too in the inside.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, so let's go on to this last matchup, which is God Turley versus Chubb for the dub.
God Turley versus Chubb for the dub.
Mm-hmm. God Turley has already had two players play. Matt Breida for 4.7 points and George Kittle, like we mentioned, with a nice 17 points.
Yeah, I think that evened out pretty nicely for him. On the Chubb for the dub side, we got Cam Newton, James Conner, Nick Chubb, Cooper Kupp, Devin Funchess, DeAndre Hopkins, Gronkowski, Panthers defense, and Will Lutz.
For sure. So you had AP, Adrian Peterson, on God Turley's team as a player to watch. Hit me up. Let me know why.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I tried to trade for AP this week. I think game this week. I think that Adrian Peterson – here's the thing. I think at some point this season the wheels fall off. I don't know that he can sustain – 25 carry games for
he's 33.
Yeah, for the rest of the season. But I think when you're thinking short term, they're just gonna they're just gonna run this run this into the ground. And I think that he's gonna have a big week against Atlanta, who's had a really soft defense. They always have a pretty soft defense, I think. And so I think AP is going to be a fun back to watch this week. Could have a really big game. And paired with Todd Gurley against New Orleans, who also is going to have a big game, could more than make up for the dud that Matt Breida put up.
For sure. Let's talk about Kenny Golladay on the Detroit side. Obviously, Golden Tate was just traded away. What do you think about Golladay?
Yeah, the movement of Golden Tate, I think, does raise Golladay's value. It's funny that God Turley also has Golden Tate sitting on his bench. Right, so I do think that the Golden Tate trade does up Golladay's value, and he's been gaining trust in that organization, right? And that's why they felt comfortable trading away Golden Tate. He's had a lot of snaps this season. Target share hasn't been super high, but I think with the Lions being a high volume passing team, with Stafford, throwing for them, I think that Golladay will see an uptick in targets, which could be good for him. He had a great first 4 or 5 weeks this season, so I think we could see some return to that.
Yeah, and I definitely feel like part of the Golden Tate trade was that confidence in Kelly Golladay, that he looks really good. He hasn't really shown it after the bye week, but I think they'll work to get him back involved. Against a tough Minnesota defense, it might be a little hard, but I think eventually we'll see some results from Golladay.
Yeah, a tough Minnesota defense that has looked pretty vulnerable at times this season. They've been really good the last few weeks, but they had that game against the Rams where they just got torched, right? And so, up and down.
I'd like to actually debate that. They're actually fourth against the wide receiver, and if you look at their points scored for different teams, they allowed 63 points from L.A., and they're still fourth against the wide receiver. I think this is a solid team that just got torched on an unlucky week. What do you think?
Yeah, but in other weeks, they got torched by LA. They gave up, a chunk of points to Green Bay. The one that I'll really give them credit for is holding New Orleans down. Mm-hmm. But in week 5, when they played Philly, I think, what was I going to say? I don't remember what I was going to say about the Philly week, but the other teams that they played, they had San Francisco week 1, they had Bills week 3, they had Arizona week 6, they had the Jets week 7.
Mm-hmm, that's true. They're not the strongest teams.
Yeah, like, so half the games have been against teams that are terrible, and you would bet on the defense stopping their pass game on any week. And then obviously they've got the one outlier with the Rams too. So we'll see. I think especially with it being a divisional game, we could see some extra firepower happening.
For sure. I can definitely see that too. We've both got Nick Chubb, Yunho's namesake player, as a player to watch. What do you have to say about this guy?
Yeah, it was kind of weird after the movement of Carlos Hyde that Chubb took a backseat to, or didn't take a backseat to, but was listed as not starting, but then had the lion's share of carries for that Browns offense. So I think that that continues this week. I do think that Chubb, I don't know if he's listed as the starter or not this week, but he clearly has looked like the starter when it comes to the share of carries week to week. He's definitely the better play over Duke Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, against Kansas City, we could see a big game. But also with the Browns, you know, I just don't know what to expect with a new coach. Mm-hmm. You know, do they go to, like, shove it to Chubb and, like, let's just ride our rookies? Or do we see more of, like, let's get Duke Johnson involved so that Baker Mayfield has better, you know, check down option in the passing game? I don't know what to expect from that, really.
I definitely agree. Nick Chubb has had consistent 18 carries the past 2 weeks. I am definitely worried about this new offensive coordinator change. Not sure how he's going to utilize his running backs. And especially since the Cleveland Browns have actually spent the most time this season losing. Which, obviously, that sounds like a very Clevelandy stat. But Nick Chubb is not the pass-catching back. I could see them getting down big against Kansas City early. And if Nick Chubb isn't really catching passes and they're down, I could see him having a tough week. Obviously, maybe they could. The defense is actually underrated. Maybe they can hold Kansas City and check a little bit, get Chubb involved in that way. But I think, yeah, I think he'll be interesting to see how that plays out as well.
Yeah, I honestly put him as a player to watch because I think this week is going to tell us kind of what to expect for the rest of the season when it comes to Nick Chubb. So yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. Obviously, Chubb for the Dub has a lot of fun players to watch with James Conner and you know Cooper Kupp against New Orleans. Mm-hmm, sure. I think another player to watch in terms of the kind of on the list of like I don't know why you're starting him is Devin Funchess. What do you think?
I was just gonna bring up Devin Funchess, man. I'm not a fan of this player. Devin Funchess. He's just not getting a lion's share of targets in this offense, and they have so many weapons, honestly. Christian McCaffrey, Greg Olsen, the new Moore. Obviously, yeah, I've been saying Cam Newton a lot too. Like, he might just take a touchdown for himself. Yeah. And so I feel like Devin Funchess is a little risky play. What do you think?
Yeah, and I get that he doesn't know who he would start outside of that. I think it's a good week to either go with the Devontae Parker run or the Calvin Ridley. I mean, he just picked up Devontae Parker, so I think maybe that is the direction he wants to go. Mm-hmm. I think that Devontae Parker would be my play this week, not Devin Funchess. And I think we could see that change before Sunday.
For sure. I actually was advocating for Doug Martin before Thursday. I guess he's probably a little happy he didn't start Doug Martin. 6.9 isn't terrible, but obviously you're probably hoping for more. I could see a Devontae Parker play. I think he'll be a solid fill-in. Maybe nothing spectacular, but I feel like he's still a solid play against this Jets defense.
I mean, he had a really good outing against, Houston is really good against the run. They're not super great against receivers, but the Jets sucked against receivers too, right? So mm-hmm. I think Devontae Parker in his first week back looked great. And we could see another build on that this week with the Jets. So,
for sure. And one closing thought. Let's go back to another Patriots player, Rob Gronkowski. What are your thoughts about this guy? He's only tight end number 8 after years of tight end dominance. How's that got you feeling?
And honestly, tight end number 8, again, tight end is a weird position this year because after years of having, you know, pretty good, consistent tight end play because we had Ertz, Kelsey, Greg Olsen,
Witten,
Jason Witten, Rob Gronkowski. We had, you know, so many.
Jimmy Graham was so good too early on. Yeah, we Jimmy had Graham, so many.
Who was on the Falcons?
Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, after post Tony Gonzalez, whatever, right? So we just had so many years of big, pretty consistent tight end play, at least in the top 10. And this year, you got the top 3, and they're, you know, averaging like 14 points a game. And then just drops off steeply. For sure. It's been the shallowest position. And so even saying that Gronk is tight end 8.
Oh, yeah, it's still not good.
It sounds better than it is, right?
Mm-hmm, so, for sure.
Yeah, Gronkowski has been pretty horrid this year. I think the one thing he does for the New England Patriots offense is it pulls a lot of the middle of the field towards him,
mm-hmm.
even though he's not been playing well. But yeah, I don't know that we see a bunch of. I don't know that I expect him to have a big game when I think that Julian Edelman and Josh Gordon and the running backs are going to have their way. Right? I think that Gronkowski continues to kind of play the decoy role to open up the field outside the numbers and to open up the field when it comes to the run game. So.
For sure. He only has one touchdown for the season. Do you think, and that was in week one of the season.
And that's also the only week he's got over 100 yards receiving. Right?
Yeah, so, yikes. What's happening?
Yeah.
Do you think, how many touchdowns do you think he gets the rest of the way?
Oh, man, the rest of the way? Let's see who they're playing. I'll say there's an uptick in touchdowns. I'll say that the rest of the way, I'll give Gronk 3 touchdowns for the rest of the season.
All right, so 4 in total?
And I don't think one comes this week.
Ooh, and so Green Bay's not the week for a touchdown?
No.
I'm also excited for Green Bay. Obviously, the big storyline is Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, but I think a smaller one is the old dominant tight ends, Rob Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham. I'm going to bank on it. I actually think both of them get a touchdown this week, Jimmy Graham and Rob Gronkowski. How about that?
Then I will say that neither of them get a touchdown this week. And we'll see how that goes.
I like this bet. All right, we're both going big.
Yeah, we're both going big. If one of them gets a touchdown, it doesn't matter for either of us. But you're saying both. I'll say neither.
Sounds good. You want to place a prediction bet on that?
Honestly, I think our predictions are going to be... Oof. See, Robin's not here, and we have the same predictions this week. So... If I lose a prediction, it's going to for sure make me lose to Robin, which I don't want to do. What do I want to bet this week? I will bet you. What week is it? Huh. I think that that's all I have to bet. What else can we bet? I don't really have free agency money to give.
All right, we will discuss our terms of our bet later. And obviously, there's a lot of leeway room where we both could not win. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Well, that was a good podcast. We went through a lot of interesting information this week. You wanted to say anything else to finish us off?
I thought the two of us were going to go way shorter because it was just the two of us. How do we end up with almost an hour between just the two of us? I don't understand. Sorry for making you guys listen to a full hour of me and Brian and me at like 12 o'clock after working all day.
Yeah, and I'm a little sick, so sorry about the sniffles and the hoarse voice, my friends. Yeah.
Send some good wishes to both your hosts.
For serious, though.
We're struggling a little bit out here.
All right.
See you, everybody. Until next week.
Have a good one, guys.